So what we want to do is cultivate that space where I am that awareness and I'm seeing my thoughts in real time. And then over time, creating a choice in what I do differently, because we don't get to just shut those off. We have to learn how to expand that conscious practice so that when I'm hearing that I'm, you know, unworthy, or that, you know, my partner not calling me right now means I'm unworthy, I can maybe now give myself a new choice.
Welcome to Betty Bites, a decidedly delicious, short and sweet mind snack for your brain to chew on. I've gone back into the Betty library and pulled out my favorite Betty sound bites, a recipe, you might say. It's bits of wisdom, sprinkles of knowledge, and a dash of dry humor for you to do and be better.
First thing is to realize that we are having, I mean, I don't even know what the number is, innumerable thoughts each and every day, most of us from the time we wake up. So the first, and this might sound like simplistic, realize that you are having those thoughts. And that is, so the fact even that you can be aware of your thoughts really illustrates that you are, that there's something else. What is that awareness? Who is gazing upon those thoughts? So first step is to become aware that we are thinking. And so for many of us, that is most, we are most aware of that when we are in, when we are either in silence, sitting, meditating, or even in bed, right? If I am someone who doesn't bring my phone into the bed, or if I put my phone down before I go to bed, those few minutes of silence before I fall off to sleep, right, might be where you get the glimpse of this thinking that I'm, so because Stephanie, I'm always someone, I don't think, I'm not about outsourcing. Don't look to me to hear what I say and incorporate it as your truth. I am all, I want to empower humans to see and feel and develop and create their own realities and truths themselves. Because so many of us, again, have had our realities determined for us. So don't believe me. Go see. Go experience your own thoughts. I'm here to suggest that you do so, under the assumption that if you're like most other humans, they're there all day long. So first we want to tune into the fact that thoughts are happening, and then to question, yeah, okay, if I can see these, quote unquote, hear these, whatever the language is that resonates, that is how we can become more connected to that separation. That doesn't mean though that we are I call it the light switch, where I get to just say, oh, okay, I get this now and I'm different from my thoughts. So whoop, I've now changed my relationship with them. Absolutely not.
All the type A's are listening. You can't just,
you know, light switch. It's a practice, yeah, to do that consistently, because it becomes increasingly more difficult. I've been looking for every elixir since my family taught me to. We love get fixed quick schemes, as I call them in my family. So if anyone was finding a magic elixir, or what I call it, my utopian hammock in the sky, where I'm just done healing, I will let everyone know. I have yet to find either of those things, and I'm desperately searching. So I totally get it. But we want to tune in that we are separate. For a lot of us, the fact that we can view upon our thoughts, right, that can give us that distinction. Okay, there's something else that makes us who we are. And again, then we want to build on that practice, because it becomes infinitely harder, like I was saying earlier, and the world's here, right? That's why for some of us, as uncomfortable as sitting meditation is, even if it's when I'm laying before I go to sleep or when I first wake up, that's a bit helpful, because when I shut my eyes and I close off the world, it's me and my thoughts. While that might be the most uncomfortable place to be, that's for some of us that movie screen where we can see this thinking and begin to build in that separation. The goal though is, and this is why I believe we have to expand. So even those of us who have a great meditation practice, if I sit and I meditate in the morning, say every morning, if I go back and I leave my meditation room and I go right back into an autopilot that's, you know, has some habits in it that aren't helping me, that's what's going to determine the larger majority of my day. So that's why when I talk about consciousness, I talk about living in consciousness. So that's the same thing extends to living, right? Self-observationally, that's what I call it, like learning how to self-observe yourself, whether it's observe yourself in life, in your habits, or observe your internal world. We want to cultivate the ability to do that in real time. because our thoughts don't shut off now that they're being seen. Our ego doesn't get any quieter. It's still very much trying to determine or dictate our daily life, our stories about ourselves, right? They all get replicated, meaning we live with them. So what we want to do is cultivate that space where I am that awareness and I'm seeing my thoughts in real time. And then over time, creating a choice in what I do differently, because we don't get to just shut those off. We have to learn how to expand that conscious practice so that when I'm hearing that I'm, you know, unworthy, or that, you know, my partner not calling me right now means I'm unworthy, I can maybe now give myself a new choice. I can either hook on that thought and sit there and think about how unworthy I am until I feel, or until I strengthen my feeling of being unworthy, or I can begin to practice something new. I might practice a new thought, or I might practice removing my attention from that thought. So it's really in real time that separation, that learning how to be that observer becomes impactful, because that's the difference between, like I said, oh, I'm aware. I know my patterns. I know I do this thing every time my partner does this other thing. That's the difference between just being really self-aware, who maybe I thought I was for a long time, and in creating change in that moment, right? Because to create change in that moment, anticipate that your partner's going to do that same thing again. And that when that happens, you're going to think the same things and feel the same way and want to be compelled to do that same reaction. That's all going to happen. However, if I practice, I can observe all of that. As hard as it is in real time, I've created enough space and other tools. Now I might have the opportunity to, the next time my partner does that thing, to begin to do something different. And that's the difference between, like I said, that self-awareness, that self-knowledge, and utilizing consciousness to do something about it, to create the change, to move forward.
All right, Betty's, if you found that little snippet whet your appetite and you are looking for more, you can go to our show notes for this episode. And in the show notes, we will have a link for you to click on, and it will bring you to the full, robust, juicy conversation.